Hello and welcome to this EG podcast on the future of renting. I'm Damien Wild, Editor-in-Chief of EG. As regular readers of EG, or even semi-regular listeners to our podcast will know, the rental market has changed significantly in the UK. It's grown, it's professionalised, and it's attracting more providers, domestic and international. As a result, there are now more than 150,000 built-to-rent homes in the UK. Now, we, the industry, talk about it a lot, about what we think as developers, as advisors, investors, lenders, and even commentators. The renter voice is more rarely heard. Today, I'm pleased to say we'll be hearing from more than 2,000 renters via a survey undertaken by Sigma Capital. And we'll be talking about whether the real estate industry is really addressing those concerns and those aspirations head on, or whether there's a gap between what's being demanded and what's being supplied. To discuss all this and more, I'm joined from Sigma by Rob Sumner, Residential Investment Director, and Vicky Hercombe, Head of Marketing. From Trinity McQueen, authors of the survey, is Lauren Elliott, Associate Director. Jennifer Murray is Head of Institutional Investment at Homes England, the government agency tasked with stepping up homes provision. Jed McPartlin is Managing Director of Ascend, and Craig Langley is Director at Savills. So let's start with the report. And Rob, I'll start with you if I can. Was this new ground for you, or is it something that you undertake frequently?
In terms of an overall report, no, this is new ground for us. We have been building, across various platforms, this portfolio of properties, both within the REIT and indeed within other equity pots, some time now. And we're actually getting to a stage where we've got, nearly 4,000 homes across all platforms under management, and we wanted to actually understand what the shape of this market was turning into. I mean, clearly we specialise in sort of suburban housing, which is sort of slightly apart from the balance of the build-to-rent marketplace, and actually understanding the diversity of people that we market and indeed let our properties to. I mean, we're very keen to understand, how our customers are faring, once they're in. And we do quite a lot of work understanding, their attitudes and responding to, the kind of thoughts of how we manage them, what their rental experience is like once we're in. But this piece of research actually brings together it's a much broader it's enabled us to get a much better picture of what the bigger marketplace actually looks like and what the shape of that market is. And indeed, what it will do is it will help to inform our strategy going forward.
So the why now, it was really a consequence of scale, was it, getting up to those 4,000 homes?
Well, I think, there is a bit of that. Renting property, it sort of seems to be, providing houses for places for people to live, to rent houses, actually seems relatively straightforward as a concept. We all want to live in a house now, whether we buy it or whether we rent it, ultimately people want places to live. And so sort of delivering houses for people to live in on the platforms that we do, it seems relatively straightforward. But actually, now we're at this sort of scale, what we want to understand is, the sort of nuances that sit behind that and why do people want particular things in particular areas, and do areas differ? Do people differ? Why do they differ? And it enables us to inform, as I say, that strategy going forward and just to get better at what we do.
Okay, thank you. And we should look at the findings, I think. And Lauren, can I bring you in? What are the headline findings of the report?
Well, where do you want to start? I guess that's an interesting question in itself. I think one of the things that really surprised us actually when doing the research was just thinking about the state of society, I guess, at the minute, and their attitudes towards renting. I think that actually informs a lot of people's perceptions about renting, which is quite interesting. One of the questions I would ask you actually is what do you think about renting itself? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I think everyone's got an opinion on it.
What do I think? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the thing that I'd slightly dodge the question. I mean, I'm not willingly dodge the question, but I think what really struck me as interesting about the report, and perhaps more interesting than you know, what I consider the market. And I guess my intro pointed to its significant growth and the opportunity there. But I like the fact that the report doesn't duck the big issues, and it does address some of those challenges that get leveled at renting. You know, it acknowledges renter concerns around dead money, expensive, restrictive, insecure, variable quality. Now, I don't mean that it painted a negative picture. It didn't. But I think dealing with those issues is really important. Did responses around that surprise you?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you pick up on that, actually, because I think we think that's a big opportunity for the rental market. So there are some negative perceptions going on. But when you dig into why that is, it really is around actual experiences, current experiences about renting, and also just what society thinks about renting. So actually, there's a big opportunity to improve that. So thinking about all the sort of personal experiences that some people have, you know, there's a lot of associations with, you know, it being dead money, it being quite sort of restrictive, there just being a lack of security, you know, that sort of thing. And actually, when thinking about how we can reframe renting, can we actually reframe that in a more positive light, actually, and provide a service that sort of helps with those things, really?
Okay, thank you. And perhaps the thing that points to the fact that it can be changed and turned into a positive, Vicky, is that there is a perception that the quality varies out there quite significantly. And for those who are providing a better service, that there is an opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's on one page of the report, which I think was one of our kind of key surprises as well, is that although there's kind of been a lot of messages conveyed throughout the report about kind of maybe the negative connotations of renting, actually, when we asked people whether they were happy renting at the moment, actually a very, very high proportion said, yes, we're happy, or we're very happy. So I think actually I think society has a huge part to play in this, and there's that mentality that the ultimate goal is to own a property, which again is quite interesting when we started to look into that, the difference between younger and the older audience. So when we did focus groups, that was particularly interesting. A lot of these slightly younger audiences said that they wanted to buy. That's their ultimate aspiration. Renting is very much a kind of an interim solution at the moment. However, when we started to ask those people, how long have you been renting at the moment, many of them replied with something like 6 or 8 years. So although they're seeing it as quite a kind of an interim solution, they find themselves renting a lot more longer than that maybe they'd considered originally. That kind of paired with people's attitudes to renting, and actually the majority of them being quite happy, makes you think that actually there's some big changes potentially to come within the rental market, and hopefully people could start to view renting as more of an aspirational choice. That compared with kind of the older market was also really quite interesting as well. So for example, many of the older people, particularly in the focus group, when I say older, I'm talking kind of early retirees or even kind of 40 plus. They felt that actually renting isn't supposed to be for them, yet they are renters. It's actually very much aimed at young adults. However, they see it as a longer term solution. And they also don't really quite identify with the kind of the obsession that we have in society today to ultimately purchase a house.
That's interesting. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, I think definitely that did surprise us. I think maybe it's to do with age. I mean, they did convey that one of the things that they would, if they were to have the option, if they were to be able to own a property, that would be positive. But actually, the majority of the positives tended to be more towards being able to leave something to their children, as opposed to actually it being a better solution for them.
Mm. Okay, I'd like to bring in the rest of the panel now about how, whether those findings and perhaps others ring true for you. Craig, could I start with you?
Absolutely. So I think I'm not surprised by the findings in the context of the group that were the findings, the group that was looked at, because I think a big part of the rental market about perception is that institutionalized products, kind of what we define as build to rent rather than necessarily PRS, is still a tiny amount, tiny fraction of the overall market. And I think there has been this perception for some time about scrupulous landlords, about landlords' number one focus about just achieving as much rent as possible, rather than being more socially responsible. I think we're seeing a lot more, like with both Sigma and other clients, we're seeing corporate landlords be a lot more really thinking about the social responsibilities as well, and the brand, and building up that position. I think it's generally speaking, it was touched upon about passing on something to your children. I think another side to it, often about ownership, is about social status. We've all done credit checks, etc., and one of the first questions you ever get asked is, are you a homeowner? It kind of feels like you've stepped onto that ladder of kind of status almost. But I think with what we're now starting to provide, it's enabling people to see the new opportunity of what renting can provide. I still think the lack of data is critical. The fact that from the UK market, if we look back at trends, we've only monitored it, the rental market, really, for the last 20 years. Whereas you look at the American markets and you can analyze the rental market back to the 1950s, because it's been far more established. It's been more on a more corporate basis. So I think I'm not surprised by what's being said, because I think the quality of the product as well is helping support some of those findings. And we certainly, from wider portfolios, we do see different comments coming through, where it's more pepper potted units from landlords that are really driving forward on rents, as I said.
Okay, but some of those key messages, you know, Sigma is different to many people in the market, you know, through the provision of family homes, so perhaps a broader base. But do you think the findings do chime with what you're seeing with other providers who are made?
Absolutely, but with the other key clients, so the likes of M&G, Invesco, Get Live in London, Keepy, those groups, again, you can clearly see, and I think we're starting to see that through the length of tenancy that we're starting to see at these products. Generally speaking, people are staying longer. And I think if people are staying longer, a key part of that has to be satisfaction, because the number one benefit of renting is flexibility. Ultimately, you have flexibility to easily move to an alternative. At any one stage, if you don't want to stay in that rented product, you can go and rent a product probably in that locale very easily. It's a case of terminating your tenancy quite often in a month, 2 months. But yet we're starting to see these longer tenancies come through. And you can see it as well, just socially, there seems to be, I think rental product is where we're really starting to see schemes where people are actually using amenity facilities. If we're flipping onto the for sale market, whenever we look at go around a scheme with amenity space, it's very seldomly used. It's very rare to see people in that space. Whereas in the rental product, we are seeing more of that. It's becoming more of a place to live, a community, which is ultimately, I think, what we all aspire to have kind of getting back to that relationship. It's something I think has become far more, particularly during the lockdown. I've spoken to far more people on my streets than I did before. We've got to a point in society where you are almost living just in your bubble. Whereas there seems to be this position where actually it's great to talk to your neighbours. It's great to interact with your neighbours. It's great to communicate with people. I think that's been a big highlight of this whole lockdown period. And I think renting is almost supporting that. We're seeing those communities move in those directions.
Okay, that's interesting. And I'm sure we'll come back to that. Jed, you're dealing with renters on a regular basis. We're here talking about the future of renting and the views of renters. You know, what are the headline things that they tell you in terms of what they like and don't like? And do you recognise that from the report as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting read, to be honest with you. A lot of it's sort of what I sort of expected. But also, I think one of the key things, you know, the rental market, you know, it's not rocket science. You know, it can be done very badly, very easily, but, you know, people do a very good job. I think the big thing for me is, and I think one of the things that, you know, Sigma have done, particularly in the stock that they sort of build and develop and rent, is give people choice. I think, you know, in our society, I think, you know, we all want to do well. We all want to aspire to, you know, to do better, but fundamentally to give ourselves options and choice. And I think, you know, from that point of view and building communities, you know, wouldn't it be great to have a lifespan of a tenant whereby, you know, they go into a starter home, a two up, and then as they get a family, they progress up to a three bed and then maybe a four bed and so on. But in order to be able to bring that to the rental market, you have to bring them choice. And I don't feel like there's ever been the choice and the scale that we're seeing now and previously. And I think that's why, you know, the rental market, it fits up until a certain point and then people move to buy their own home because, you know, there isn't that choice out there for them.
And do you ever have someone come up to you and say, I want to rent a home by an institutional landlord or anything approaching that? I just wonder whether that differentiation is appreciated by renters and sought.
It's more so you probably last maybe 6 to 8 months than previously. I think people now are seeing the value of that institutional brand, of that institutional landlord, what that gives them, the security that gives them. You know, I think it's been a long time getting that message out there. But I do see people, you know, buying into that now. And I think that's it's important for the long-term progress of the build-to-rent market. That, you know, people do feel secure in their own homes and buy into the brand as much as the, you know, as much as the sort of properties.
Okay. And it goes
Dan, I was just about to jump in at that point. I think probably, you know, what we're currently experiencing, what we have experienced over the last 3 months, you know, I think it has brought, you know, the benefits of renting from an institutional landlord into very, very sharp relief because, you know, clearly, you know, we are not perhaps quite as susceptible, you know, to the sort of, you know, the slings and arrows of personal, you know, financial issues. So if you're renting from an individual landlord, you know, they may themselves be struggling to actually, you know, keep that house that is, you know, that is being currently rented to you, whereas that's not an issue that we've experienced. And we've had a lot of positive feedback from those people that, you know, have been unfortunate enough to be affected by COVID-19 over the last 3 months, and, you know, and the systems that we brought in to kind of give them some relief, which, you know, probably wouldn't be available to somebody renting from an individual landlord.
And Rob, you haven't had renters question whether they want to be renting in an environment like this, or have you?
Sorry.
I appreciate your point that that renters now see the value in a climate, in an uncertain climate like this, of renting from an institutional landlord. Have you had a message where renters have questioned whether they want to be renting in an uncertain climate?
No, not at all. As I say, you know, the feedback that we're getting from, you know, from our customers is, you know, generally speaking, overwhelmingly, you know, positive. You know, they are happy to be where they are. They're happy to be renting from us because they understand the benefits of it. So no, we haven't had any negative feedback from that perspective at all. You know, to be fair, just to come back on Jed's point, you know, about providing choice, we are now anecdotally sort of seeing, you know, people move from, you know, smaller houses and promoting themselves up through, you know, to some of our larger properties. And indeed, we're actually seeing people move from, you know, development to development as you know, their circumstances change. Now, you know, that's very normal in the States. You know, clearly our portfolio is as big as it is. You know, and when it spreads across the country, so when we get complete blanket coverage of the UK, you know, we'll be able to demonstrate that even more. But I think that speaks to satisfaction, you know, within the people to whom we rent our properties.
Yeah, of course. And I'll just ask you very briefly on that, Rob, and then I'll come back to Jed. And I very much want to bring in Jennifer in a moment. But I was going to latch onto that branding point, Rob and then Jed, that, you know, this was the hope
3 or 4 years ago, when the build-to-rent market started really emerging here, that customers would identify with the brand and would want to stay within a branded property, whether it's a Sigma branded property or another. You're seeing that happening, are you, Rob, now?
Yeah, we are, very much so. And, you know, as I say, as the portfolio grows, you know, we will see that, we'll see that expand ever more. In fact, only this morning, I was looking at some feedback that Vicky, or some research that Vicky had done on, you know, where our inquiries for our properties are actually coming from. And, you know, the power of the Simple Life website is really starting to come into its own now. And in terms of, well, I'll let Vicky talk to it because she knows the data more than I, but certainly, there is a recognition, you know, of the brand now, you know, and that is underpinned by, you know, the amount of inquiries that it's actually getting by comparison, you know, to some of the other, the other methods of marketing that we're also employing.
Okay. Briefly, Vicky, you've been teed up there.
So basically, I mean, looking at last month's data in regards to where our inquiries actually came from, our Simple Life website was second in terms of lead generation behind Rightmove. And then in terms of actually, if you look at then who converted, Simple Life accounts for, Simple Life website accounts for over half of the applications then actually made, which is absolutely incredible. It means that obviously there's a lot of value now within the brand. I think it's becoming bigger and bigger. People are starting to recognise the brand. And I suppose it is all about also recognising the additional customer service and satisfaction that you should be getting from renting with a corporate landlord. Again, going back to the research, it's that sort of the need for control, something like a big theme that came out through all age groups across the whole of the research piece was this whole idea of kind of renters want to feel as if they are being treated as customers. And maybe that's been lost to date. And maybe that's kind of starting to be brought back into the market again through build to rent providers. But it's really feeling like they're valued and they're being listened to. So, and I think as a build to rent supplier ourselves, and part of the reason of doing this research, wanting to make sure that we're always adapting and we're prepared to adapt and evolve and listen to people's opinions and listen to people's experiences and how we can improve our services all the time. So we're always looking at customer satisfaction surveys. Within those, we include things like how, if you were to improve anything on your property, what do you think could be improved? So that can inform our future decisions with sites. But it's really making them feel that they're valued. I mean, one of the comments that came up a couple of times in particularly the focus groups is that people feel that they're almost doing a favour. Sometimes they feel that they're doing a landlord a favour by renting their property, as opposed to them actually being treated as a customer, or as maybe they would experience having the kind of experience that maybe they would want to have. And really, we feel that it should be more aligned with the experience that they'd expect from buying a property.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And Jed, just quickly on that branding point that Rob and Vicky made there, I asked you a moment ago whether, you know, people are asking you, saying to you that they would like to rent a property from an institutional landlord. Does it go further now? Are people aligned to particular brands? They want to rent a property from a particular landlord?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, the data that Vicky's talking about, I mean, we both looked at that yesterday. I think when your brand is driving as many leads as a port the size of Rightmove, then I think that, you know, that tells a pretty big story. But when your conversion rate from your own brand is higher than all the portals, basically all them put together, I think that's a much bigger story. And I think that says it all about where we currently are and how we will go in this market.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer, you've been very patient there. Sorry to come to you last, but it always has to be someone. But I'm interested in how Homes England sees this. As the government's housing accelerator, is the rental market the key driver of that acceleration?
That's a really interesting question, Damien, in that, you know, the government has a very high focus on increasing levels of home ownership. And so, you know, a fair proportion of our activity is towards supporting home ownership products and people delivering into that home ownership space. But certainly from my perspective, there's two really important things here. One is that for reasons of choice and necessity, people will want and need to rent. And it's only right that the homes that they are able to rent in are ones that are, you know, decent quality, offer them good service, give them choice, and security of tenure and all of the things that we've just been talking about. So I think that, rental is a very important part of that acceleration. And I think not least because of the extent to which it can start to create a place very quickly. If you've got renters, quite often they move in quicker. Sometimes they've got a bit more disposable income because they've not just spent a huge amount of money on a deposit. So I think that they have a really, really important role in driving all parts of the market, which is something that's really important to us. But if I may, the one thing I'd really like to touch on from Sigma's report is I'm absolutely delighted that groups like Sigma are now collecting data like this and really importantly sharing it, because I think that's what's really key to getting institutional professional money into the sector. And as Craig touched on earlier, you know, it's still a very nascent investment class in the UK, and in the States, you know, it took off in the 90s. But from very, very early on, the operators were sharing information, and this body of evidence was created that gave investors confidence in terms of what part of the market they wanted to come into. So I really, really encourage Sigma and all of its peers to start collecting this data and really importantly sharing it, because it's what will give confidence to more investor groups so that we can get, again, to Craig's point, we can get this professional, good quality, good service group of accommodation to a much higher proportion than it is today of the rented stock.
It's not a data-rich sector of the market yet, is it? And is that because it's relatively emerging here, relatively nascent, do you think?
I'm going to allow Craig to jump on me if he thinks I'm being really unfair here. You know, I've come out of the commercial real estate sector where, you know, IPD and now MSCI have been collecting data on performance and rents for over 40 years. If you're somebody who's assessing, making an investment decision on whether or not you want to forward fund a shed in Daventry, it's really, really easy to evidence you know, tenant demand, rental growth, where you think the price is at. If you're that same investor saying, shall I forward fund or forward purchase homes for rent, that data just isn't there. And I do think that that's a big issue that the sector needs to start to overcome to start getting in investment at greater scale.
Great. Craig, I'll make it easy for you. There isn't a lot of data in the market. You collect data with the BPF or on behalf of the BPF. And now this survey, there's not a lot of other market-wide data, is there?
No, it was just touching upon MSCI. So they've only been effectively recording since 2002. So in terms of confidence in the sector, we've only got real data that's been through effectively one financial crisis or one material event which could impact on the market. And this is this collection of data which is clearly lacking in the sector. And obviously that's exacerbated by the fact that to date, we've only had limited investment in the sector of those groups that have the scale whereby the data starts to become meaningful, because that's been the other challenge. When the vast proportion of the sector is still owned by us, individuals that own one, two, three houses, rather than groups that have ownership of thousands of units, whereby actually you can get behind the data, you can really understand what is the leakage, et cetera, going to be. So I completely agree. I think the more we support groups are able to share data, we fully appreciate it's sensitive. But doing surveys like this, I think really is a benefit. It will assist confidence. During this actual crisis, one of the key things from a kind of the professional side of actually being valuing, et cetera, we've actually come together as a group of all the firms to actually sit down and talk and communicate to understand how this sector's been performing. Because, and again, the data's not out there, but I think the real surprise is just how well it has performed. And I think that's really been because responsible landlords have responded to tenants. Sigma didn't have to, or the group didn't have to offer NHS tenants discounts on rent. They didn't have to do that, but that's corporate responsibility. They didn't have to support, engage with tenants and help them when they are being furloughed, etc. And I think that side of it has been a real positive, and that's a story which I think should be coming out. Unfortunately, the press likes to grab on kind of the bigger, the social irresponsibility stories, the kind of the more people grabbing stories. But I think there are some fantastic benefit stories that have come out of during this period. And we're already starting with just speaking. I remember speaking to Gwyn Thompson at Sigma, and he told me one of the biggest complaints, actually, if anything, and I hate to say the word complaint, but is the fact that it's just a shift supply. They need more product. People just want to be able to move into their product. They want access to more of their product. And I think that's fabulous that people are now looking at this as a longer term perspective. But it is about information sharing. And I think there's a lot of opportunity going forward. Diversification of product is key. We're seeing it across other operators as well, that where people are moving from one location to another location, but staying with the brand. So I think we will see more value add through that. Which I think is incredibly important.
Okay, I should say that EG, of course, has been running many of those positive news stories about how the sector has responded, and will continue to do so. I'm sure
you meant I was referring more to the tabloid press rather than necessarily the more informed press.
Yeah, it's an important consideration, though, and just to extend that point a little, Rob, and I suppose to link commercial and residential here as well, that, you know, bad landlords is a story that gets written an awful lot. It's also an argument that gets pushed by central government a fair amount as well. And I wonder there whether having residential and commercial work more closely together and in championing responsible landlords is something that's on your agenda.
Well, I think certainly from being a responsible landlord is, you know, number one on our agenda. We make no bones about that. You know, the experience that people have, you know, rented from us has got to be first class, you know, because we appreciate they have choice. And as the marketplace grows, you know, that choice will increase. We stand very much on a pedestal, as a target, you know, if we fail to perform at the level that we expect. So, you know, being a responsible landlord is key. I think in terms of, you know, how we align commercially, I think is there an alignment between, you know, commercial landlords, residential landlords? Well, I mean, in terms of interests, yes, there are. In terms of the sectors, they're very different. And I think, you know, on this matter of, you know, sort of gathering information and monitoring the marketplaces as we do. And the issue has been, you know, the simple granularity of the asset base. You know, dare I say it's possibly easier, you know, to gather information on, you know, on shopping centres, you know, being the size of beasts that they are, for argument's sake, or even indeed offices. Than it is on, you know, individual rental properties. But, you know, as I say, gathering data like this and that sharing of data in time will hopefully, you know, sort of overcome some of those issues. But it is about scale. You know, the marketplace is currently very small. The build-to-rent marketplace is particularly small. With, you know, I think we've probably only got about 80,000 or so build-to-rent properties, you know, delivered so far, you know, in the UK. So as I say, it's a scale thing. You know, we will be able to gather more data as the scale grows, you know, and then employ that data effectively, as indeed our commercial colleagues do.
Yeah, I should say the 150,000, 160,000 I mentioned earlier, half of those are in planning. Still, of course. Vicky, will you be keeping the survey up if there is a greater need for deeper data? Having this produced regularly would be a benefit.
Yeah, I think definitely our aim is to keep our finger on the pulse, as it were. It's definitely not something we set out to do as one big kind of project and then we've decided, right, that's it, kind of ticking the box, we're leaving it. It is something that, you know, we need to continually monitor residents across the country, our own and also general within the rental market, just to make sure that we're keeping up with kind of the trends, the wants, the needs, and keeping on top of exactly what are people looking for, what are their attitudes to renting, and how can we improve the overall rental experience.
Okay, thank you. And Lauren, what would you say would be the top things that a landlord like Sigma and others should be addressing to keep their tenants, to retain their tenants and keep them happy? Sorry, Lauren, are you there?
Sorry, I couldn't hear my name. That's fine. What was the question? Sorry.
What, based on the report and the research that you've done, what do you think are the top areas that a landlord like Sigma should focus on to keep renters retained and happy?
Yeah, a lot of the feedback we got was actually around trust and transparency. So people actually want a relationship with their landlord quite a lot of the time. And I think there's a lack of consistency across the market at the minute in terms of that relationship that they're getting from their landlord. So some would say that they basically never speak to them. Some would say they try and contact them and then never get a response. Some get a really immediate response. So really it is about building that relationship and giving them that sort of clarity of trust and what they can expect and just making it super, super clear. It's quite interesting for us as well that it seems to be a two-way relationship. So it's kind of rebalancing the scales, I think, a lot in terms of perceptions. Because I think some people think that the landlord has all the power, and that can make the renter feel actually quite, you know, down on themselves, particularly if they're not getting the service that they think they deserve. So if you rebalance that scale and actually make it feel like a relationship, actually that two-way street works really, really well.
Okay. Thank you. Very, very interesting. And Craig, you mentioned the UK being behind the US and behind continental Europe as well, parts of continental Europe as well. I just wonder where you see the market in a few years' time. And again, thinking back to some other Savills research around growth in operational real estate, that, if I remember correctly, was going to be driven by the build to rent market. How big do you think it will get and how quickly?
Oh,
there's a question.
There is a question. I think the growth in the sector is inevitable. I think we're seeing more and more institutional parties come into the sector, and that only continues to grow. I think this period we've been through will probably only exacerbate that, because what it's highlighted is that people want to be with landlords and in a sector that is socially responsible and also that performs. I think that's also key. I think there's been if you look at the performance of this sector over all the downturns, and actually looking more closely, say, at the American markets where there is more data, the rental market generally speaking, outperforms all other sectors from residential. So it's a stable income stream which investors are able to get hold of. And I think the problem we've had in the UK before is just the lack of supply. It's only now that we are getting to a position where we are getting this supply coming forward. And I think from a house building perspective, I completely take on board like why the government would want to try and get people into houses. But ultimately, house building will only ever go as fast as people can acquire. You're only going to build as quickly as people are able to buy. We need more housing in the UK. Renting, as was noted, is a way where people are able to do it a lot quicker. So I think it allows for greater volumes of development to take place. It obviously needs more government support. I think it needs more support through the planning process as well. It also needs more support for, I think, modern methods of construction. I think that's an area where I think really could support faster, quicker, better quality homes as well. I think how big it could be, it can easily triple, quadruple the size. We're still talking, it's the professional build to rent market is still a tiny, tiny fraction. And people, we're still not building enough homes across the UK. We've not managed to hit those targets. And I know Homes England are doing a fantastic job to support them, support that those markets. But we still need to do more. And I think that's all parts of the industry need to come together to support that. It doesn't just take one part. It's Home England. It's the investors. It's the professional services. It's the planning. We all need to come together to be able to support this sector. Because I think it offers so many benefits. I think actually offering a product which people want to live in and are happy to live in, I think that's fantastic. We want to be happy. And I think I think homes are the place of home through this crisis has become even more important to us. And that's why I think it's very important.
Quite a clarion call there. Jennifer, that must be music to your ears in terms of the partnerships that you seek, that the partnership with you is sought on the other side as well.
Yes, it is. But I think there's also an element for us of reaching out into different markets that don't know what we are able to do. And I certainly see many of the investor markets as those, you know, the builders and developers and the banks know us well. But investors less so. And we're very, very keen to say that we're here and ready to work in partnership, because the really important thing is that, you know, government cannot do this alone. We cannot deliver and are not delivering yet 300,000 homes per annum on our own. We really, really need different sources of capital coming into the sector. And we're a long way away from where I'd like to see it. You know, we are still competing. The residential sector is still competing with other real estate asset classes. And I guess that's why I was making the point so heavily about data, is that, you know, there is still a case to be made. I think, you know, everybody on this call understands it, gets it, sees the diversification benefits, sees the contracyclical nature of the potential returns. But we've still got to make that case. And that's part of our role, is to help the industry make the case and work in partnership with people who want to help us achieve our aims.
Okay, that's they're two really good notes to end on. I'm afraid we're out of time. It's a fascinating topic and a really interesting report that paints a picture of the sector from a perspective that perhaps doesn't get the attention it always deserves. So thank you all for listening, and thank you especially to our panel for joining us this morning.